you're making your way into the entertainment industry. And what is the deal with representation? And are we as South Asians getting enough now?
Short answer, no. Welcome back to another episode of NRI, Not Really Indian.
Hey guys, so welcome to another chit chat sesh with us. Today we are sponsored by all the Desi Doctors Tears who have been working really hard to save us from COVID. So we'd like to take this time to thank not them, but their parents for all the forcing that they did to put these doctors to this situation. So I was just checking out Reddit and there's like a thread that I've been following. Let me just open that. Called ABC Daisies, which I'm guessing everyone is on. But I found out that the most common last name among American physicians is no longer Smith, it's Patel. So congratulations. But the comment section was really interesting. And I think this is where I'd love to hear from you and what you think. Because there's this person who commented, and yet no Indian doctor main character on Grey's Anatomy, and no that Dr. Douche resident who got fired doesn't count. So Krishna from Texas, You're making your way into the entertainment industry. And what is the deal with representation? And are we as South Asians getting enough now?
Short answer, no. But we are seeing more than we saw 10 years ago. And 10 years from now, we will get more than we're seeing now. That's kind of a given if things keep projecting up. That being said, there is a lot and a lot of work to be done. I would say if we're going to be if you're going to look at it from a glass half full, glass half empty situation, it's not like we're seeing only a monolith like, oh, if you want to be a brown entertainer, you have to appear a certain way. You have to behave a certain way. You have to look a certain way. You can have your own identity and still rise. And that's something that's growing more, which I think is awesome. And I think it's also interesting to see how it's going to progress even further because I mean, I feel like our stories and like the beauty of like what we have to bring to the table lies in these nuances, in the levels of what we bring to it, not just the fact that, oh, we're adding. Okay, let me give you an example. So let's just take any doll dish, right? If my mom makes it one way, your mom will make it another way. Even if they use the same ingredients, the taste is somehow gonna be different, right? Because of the way each person uses what they have. So I think that when we have more brown entertainers, we're gonna see an even greater amount of diversity in terms of storytelling, in terms of the way things are.
But yeah, let's talk about like you yourself. Like, have you, okay, so you're definitely entering the entertainment industry at a stage where representation is a huge conversation now and people are realizing the value of having different people of color given roles. So you're right. Entering at this stage, right? Have you faced discrimination at this point? Or do you think you've been treated much better than before?
To be honest, I started out more or less as a content creator because early on in high school, when I was doing theater, I don't want to say that, you know, the casting and stuff behind it was racist. I don't really think that's the case. I will acknowledge that, you know, the people who are getting all the lead roles for the most part were better actors than me at that time. But one thing that I was seeing amongst my peers was how quick they always were to typecast me, or like, and this was just like people within my, like around my age group, other students were in theater with me as well. Anytime anyone was writing anything for fun and it's like, oh, what should Krishna do? It was always coming back to a, like, you know, a very redundant, overdone, annoying stereotype. If I got annoyed by it, then it would turn into, oh, well, you're kind of racist for pointing out a racism.
But you were telling me the other day about a very special director and about a movie that he just created. Tell me more about it.
Yes, Anish Chagunti's Run. He is also an Indian American director. He's made Searching. And here's the best part of it. So the main character, she's disabled. And the actress herself is, you know, is a disabled actress in real life. And this is kind of the beauty of representation and how he's been handling it, because he has a way of adding people into the story or doing representation without doing a whole, you know, making a big deal out of it. So Crazy Rich Asians, it came out the same year Searching did. And both of them were a very big deal for Asian American representation. And yes, that I would say it includes Indian Americans because we still fall under the Asian American diaspora to some degree, in the sense that we are a form of Asian.
Okay, I say Crazy Rich Asians is an amazing film. I'm glad that it gave representation to like East Asian Americans, you know, the Chinese, Koreans, all that. But the reality of Singapore is not what the film shows, by the way. There are Indians, there are Malays in Singapore that also fit the Crazy Rich Asians tag in Singapore. So it's the way the movie showcased, my only issue with that was it was not an accurate representation of what it means to be a Crazy Rich Asian in Singapore. Because you have Crazy Rich Indians in Singapore, you have Crazy Rich Arabs in Singapore. I feel like if they had included that one aspect by having different Asian actors, it would have been amazing. But yeah, Anish Chaganti, what about him? How did he start? Do you know like his background?
I don't know his background fully. I mean, I know that, so from what I know, based on the interviews and stuff, he was a student at USC, film student, and he was a film student.
How did being a film student and in an Indian community?
No. So like his story is different. Like his parents were actually very, very supportive. And I mean, I remember seeing a presentation he gave for Searching when he was pitching it as a, you know, to like viewers, like people like us to go watch it. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how when he was little, his mom used to pull him out of school early to catch an early release of a new movie.
Oh my God. Wow.
And
that is
a lot of his like love for movie came from his mom, because like that was like his family bonding time. Like they would watch movies together. And eventually it grew to a point where he would start watching movies, of course, in secret and stuff, because, you know, on school night, you're watching a movie late at night. Nope.
Yeah.
Forget Indian parents. Like, I don't even think like any white parent would be cool with that, low key.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then eventually grew into his passion for becoming a filmmaker. And I know like a big influence for him, and this is why representation does matter, was M. Night Shyamalan. I know that a lot of us don't like him after Last Airbender. I will proudly admit I fell into that crowd because I was not a fan of how that movie turned out. Mm-hmm. That being said, I mean, back when he was in his prime, that was still a big thing for someone like him, because that kind of gave him that push of, oh, I can do it. And for me, that was Cal Penn and Harold and Kumar. Mm-hmm. Because before, I mean, the only roles I was seeing for Indian Americans in any American movie was like movies like American Desi, American Chai. It was very American Chai? You know, yeah, there's a movie called American Chai. It's about a guy who wanted, it's like American Desi. It's about a guy who's Indian, doesn't feel Indian. Wants to become a musician. His parents don't want him to be a musician. He studies music in secret. And, you know, he finally stands up to his parents. And, like, it was better made than American Desi. I will give it that. But at the same time, again, those were the roles I was seeing. It was either that or it was either, you know, playing a stereotype, playing a doctor, a cab driver, or whatever, a terrorist. Oh. Yeah. Terrorist. But terrorist. Or of course, like, you know, the nerdy kid who gets passed up all the time, which is like you know, nobody wants to play. I don't mind playing that on occasion, but I don't want that to be the only thing that I get called to do. So representation, it's not only what you see on camera, it's also what happens behind the camera. So in terms of Indian American representation, or I would say we need more directors, producers, writers, yeah, of course, actors, but... And this is one thing I kind of understood fairly early, because in high school, this is actually a true story. So I had a dream once. I forgot what the dream was. It was kind of like this weird dream where it was like I woke up in a school. I ended up in a school like with vampires and stuff. I thought it would make a really cool novel because it felt I think it was because in my head there were only two books I actually read, which were Cirque du Freak and the Percy Jackson series. I hated reading, but those were the only two books series that I managed to read and enjoy. So when I went to sleep one night, like I think my brain just merged them together and created its own thing. So I went to school the next day and I was talking to my friend who wanted to be a writer, and I said, "Yo, I actually had this idea, and I'm thinking of like writing a book about it. What do you think?" And he said, that's a great idea. So he sits me down and he's like, okay, like, let's talk about characters. Like, first thing first. And this guy, he's half Korean, half white. He said, you got to make sure your main character is white. And I'm like, but no, in my dream, it was me. So wouldn't I want my main character to look like me? He's like, no, you got to make him white. Because most of the people who read, then he pulled up these like things, like most of the people who read action adventure novels are white, and you know, they want to see themselves. So you got to pander to the white community. And I'm like, fuck that. No, I'm not going to do that. And then he said, well, the only reason anyone's going to care if your main character is Indian is if you add an Indian element to that story. And that used to, I wanted to wait. Fight back at that time.
So this guy wanted to see vampires doing Bhangra. Is that what he wanted? Like the Indian
he made that joke, or he's like, he did joke about that. And I was like, no, dude, you know. And then he said, okay, well, maybe add some Indian mythology theme to it or something. Or some like Indian sorcery theme or something. And I'm like, but then I stopped to think about it. And this at that time. So this was when I was, I want to say a junior. So like 2011, 2012. Okay. Until then, the only movie, like, you know, the only big budget movie that in terms of Indian American representation we had was Harold and Kumar. And even in that movie, while that was very much groundbreaking in the sense that the main character was not somebody who fits stereotypes, he was not somebody, you know, he was more human than most brown characters we see represented. And even him, mm-hmm. I wouldn't say was fully there.
Yeah.
While that was a huge thing, at the end of the day, you kind of had to, like, at that time, like, what I had to understand was, oh, no, I mean, even there were Indian elements required. And that movie, when I looked into why it was made, it was kind of made because, you know, there was a group of, by a couple guys who were thinking, you know, every time they see, I mean, they're white dudes, but they were thinking, every time they see Indian or Asian characters on TV, they're always painted a weird way. And they grew up in Jersey, so they had a lot of Indian and Asian friends. And they were thinking, well, our friends honestly aren't like that. Why don't we make a movie that kind of looks like our Indian and Asian friends that we know? And that's how they went about doing it. And to be fair, there is a perspective that they bring, which is, you know, as much as you want to try, it doesn't particularly fare up. I mean, and we see this all the time, not only in our industry, we even see this in Bollywood as well. Mm. For example, I mean, you know the actress Sridevi, right?
Yeah.
So her entire career, she's done like over hundreds of movies. But in her entire career, she's only worked with one female director. And there was a time in her career where she was rising like really, really high. And because she was in such a male dominated industry, and even though there were male directors who wanted to like make movies about her only, mm-hmm. they just didn't have that perspective and that perspective and that, you know, understanding of what they could, of being a woman, that a woman director or a woman writer could have brought, that they just kind of ended up selling her short.
Yeah. Because like, okay, so in novels, one of the common things that I've heard that is if when a male author writes a novel in the perspective of like a woman, it mm-hmm. comes out wrong. There are so many memes that I've seen where a male author talks about a woman's day as though she is like, it's a very, in a very animated way, a highly unrealistic way of like describing her daily life. It's almost like what you see in the movies when the reality is it's far from that.
I think ultimately, no matter how much one tries to empathize with another person or another community and really immerse themselves in it, they're not going to know it the same way as somebody who was born, brought up, and molded by it.
Of course, of course.
So even if I have a lot of female friends or get a more intimate understanding of what women go through, me writing it, there's going to be some level of gap in terms of what's happening and what they're understanding, like what they're dealing with.
Yeah.
And as a writer, yeah, that is like part of the challenge. You do try to put yourself in shoes of people that you don't like. That is part of the challenge. That is part of the craft, which is putting yourself into positions and shoes that you just aren't in and trying to fill that gap with your imagination. Mm. Like using what you do know to find out what you don't know or figure out what you don't know. I don't think people should stop writing stories from other people's perspectives or stop attempting to, but I do think there should be a more honest effort. And I do think more people from those communities should be allowed to speak on their own voice, and those voices should be elevated. because they can help other people too who are trying to understand better, and other writers as well. So I see it as a win for everybody.
Yeah, maybe just to make this topic a lot more relatable, like, do you think at this time and age, are, you know, Desi kids as comfortable as, like, because of all these representation, do you think Desi kids are more comfortable in expressing themselves by joining, like, you know, art school and or doing something in the arts field? Do you think it's increasing slowly? And don't tell me TikTokers.
I don't think all brown kids were never were completely uncomfortable from the beginning. I'm pretty sure there were people who were confident and were very much comfortable. And if we're looking at the history of Indian America, like, you know, of like migration from India to America, and when it started, like, you know, when it started growing, and in terms of more people coming into entertainment, I mean, in terms of that, I would say we're growing. If I'm going to be honest, and this is like, if we're looking at the black community and we're looking at our growth, I would say we're doing really well. I do think that, yeah, like, most people growing up now, they do have better role models. Like, they have Hasan Minhaj to look at. Like, for me, it was mostly, you know, Apu from The Simpsons. And then when Harold and Kumar came, that was like a, yeah, no, when Harold and Kumar came, that was like a huge, like, mind fuck for me. I was like, that was like a huge, that was just a really big thing for me. It's a chain. Yeah, I do think it's a chain. And I do think more and more people are going to rise. And I think more and more stories are going to come out. And I think we're going to see more representation from, you know, different aspects of, like, Indian American culture, problems like people face. I mean, whether it's casteism, even amongst, like, you know, families who migrate to America and raise their kids here. I mean, we can see, like, I think there are some interesting stories to be told there, whether it's religion, whether it's, you know, even stories about, like, undocumented immigrants in America, because a lot of people think it's only Hispanic Americans for the most part, or Latinos, but we do have a lot of Asian American and even Indian undocumented citizens of America.
Let me just get a couple of names from you for me to check out. All right, give me some good names of Telugu entertainers that are thriving in America.
I mean, Anish Chaganti is Telugu. Hari Kondabolu is Telugu. I met him a couple times when he performed in Houston. He's really, really sweet.
God damn. Okay, what's his name?
Hari Kondabolu. Well, let's, I mean, in terms of, I think in terms of next round of people coming up,
the third Krishna, our friend
Nick Krishna. I'm actually doing a collaboration with him right now.
Damn, tell me when it comes out. So yes. Vic Krishna is one of the people that I first met, like, I just saw on Instagram, and then I tagged Krish from Texas, and I was like, oh my god, look at the third Krishna. And then it followed up from there, and now it turned into a collaboration between Texas Krishna and Vic Krishna. But his Insta is Hot Vic Krishna Actor, so check him out whenever you guys are
ready. You probably might have seen him from that one TikTok video about auditioning, where they ask him to say his line in an Indian accent, and he's like, listen, Karen, the manager's not here. But he does, until, like, you know. Yeah, it's, I don't want to say too much. I mean, if you guys, I feel like at this point, if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, well, you can check it out on his Instagram.
I think it's another good example of, like, representation and, like, what some people might expect from an Indian actor. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, but no, I've been blessed in that, when, in terms of auditions and whatnot, I've never had to audition where they were asking me to do an accent. I've gotten to try out for characters that I would have loved to play regardless. But I do remember reading for this one TV pilot pitch where my character was the main character, and the guy was saying, well, since we like you, you're going to have to act like your parents are going to be white, you're going to be adopted, is that cool? And I said, yes, I've always wanted to experience what having white parents is like. That is an experience. I'm like, you see it in so much in movies. I'm just like, whoa, you can get away with so much shit when you're white. Yo.
Oh my God.
I mean, there's like a level of understanding. Or no, Caillou, freaking Caillou. You remember Caillou, the cartoon?
No. What is that? Did I forget?
It's about this bald kid. I mean, it's like a cartoon we used to watch as kids, like when we were very little. And he'd always throw tantrums, but his parents would always be very like calm about it. And then in the background, you'd hear a narrator going, "Caillou was upset that his mommy wouldn't let him go play outside."
What? And then, what show is
while
that?
It was raining. You'd see him throwing a hissy fit, and the mom and dad would be like, "Caillou, you need to understand it is raining outside." There was a theory that he might have actually been a cancer patient.
Oh God. Oh, that sounds sad. I mean,
he was bald. He was bald, but 3-year-old me does not know that. I'm watching it and I'm thinking, what? This guy can complain about not going outside to play and his mom's not gonna smack him? What's going on here?
Dude, you know the rules for
I wasn't smacked
parents.
At 3-year-old. I wasn't smacked when I was 3, by the way. I just want to make that clear for anyone who's like watching. That started when I was like 5.
Honestly, I don't remember when I first got smacked. I don't remember. But I mean, you know the rules of Indians parenting. If we had fun one day, we're not having fun for the next 1 week. Stand it.
Yes.
That's it. Like, you had fun. Okay, now shut up and go study for 1 week and then you can have fun the next week.
Even if it was for school events, right?
Yeah, yeah. If your school had a bazaar or like a fun fair that you had to take responsibility for and you had to set up a stall or something, it's still considered fun. You still had to go study afterwards. But yeah, like, this was a real fun chat about media representation. I think I learned a lot from you, honestly.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was that much happening in America. In Singapore, it's pretty much not so much, to be really honest with you. We just have really cringy shows.
Do you think there could be more Indian representation in Singapore, though?
We have
Singapore is a very diverse country. It's more diverse than people give it credit for. So I feel like there is a lot of scope for, you know, stories of like Indians in Singapore or being Indian in Singapore.
I don't think it's reflected. I don't. So we have channels. We have one, we have this company called Media Corp that sort of handles all like the different channels. And we have the main English channel. We have a Tamil channel. We have a Chinese channel and we have like a Malay channel. These are local made. All the shows are local, but to be really, really honest, I don't watch any of them because they're just not my type. And I don't want to criticize because I don't want to be like, you know, one of those that is criticizing, but none of my friends actually watch local television. I grew up not watching local television. My friends did grow up watching local television. And yeah, it's kind of cringy sometimes. It's overdone. Yeah. So it's at some point you just get bored. And that's kind of what happened. Now, not that many people tune in unless there's like a special movie feature on like events like Chinese New Year or Deepavali and stuff like that. Yeah, but that's about it. And representation wise, I feel like they do put in the effort. I have to give them credit for that. You can look at the English channels. They have Indian actresses, Malay actors, and so many different, it's diverse, especially when it comes to like filming. Yeah, I think they make it a point. But otherwise, it's just kind of cringy. There are lots of Twitter feeds about how cringy Singaporean YouTubers are, Singaporean TikTokers are, and like obviously the Singapore TV personalities are. So that's a whole nother topic that is, it's just a cringe fest.
No, but like I personally would be interested in seeing like a movie or a show about, about somebody who is like an Indian Singaporean's perspective of growing up in Singapore. Or of navigating Singapore, like being Singaporean, like their Singaporean or Indian identity.
That's like, true though, because
I personally think that would be like a more interesting show for me. Because I mean, that's an experience that I feel like most of us in America aren't completely familiar with. And you know, being they see in America versus Singapore versus England or Australia or wherever, it's there are a lot of nuances, and
of course,
and I think that's where like that's where the beauty and that's where like the true stories lie in all those nuances.
I will say though, as much as, you know, we think there are differences, I feel like there are more similarities than differences. I mean, that's the reason why we were able to like bond, you know, like we're not that far off. That's what I genuinely, I think that's the case.
Of course.
Yeah. And maybe I'm being optimistic, but I never really saw myself as like being really different from like an American Indian or as such. It could have been that you saw a lot more people. I don't know, like, maybe in America, you would have a lot more people hitting on you directly. That is not the case in Singapore, but that's, I feel like other than that, it
seems I personally have not experienced that much.
yeah.
I would very much welcome it if I did.
Yes, ladies, I mean, please DM him. He will reply to all your messages. But yeah, like in Singapore, yeah, representation is there, but if you're talking about like really good talent, it's a hit or a miss most of the time. But we're more similar, I will say. Like a lot of my Indian immigrant friends, so I met different types of Indian immigrants, but the ones that I was closer with, the Telugu immigrant people, it's pretty standard. One thing I will say though is we have a bigger avenue to stay connected to our roots. So what I mean by that is, okay, I guess this won't apply to people, to Telugu people in like New Jersey or like places where there are lots of Telugu people.
Like Dallas, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe it's almost up to that level, but in Singapore, there's like a samajam for people of the same race and everybody gets together. Everybody has like, they do events together, they do puja together. So there's a whole community that parents drag their kids to make sure they understand the culture, which, my parents weren't that hardcore, but for my friends and all that, yes, they were definitely brought to different events and they have a much better understanding of culture than I would say like an American Indian might. Again, not all American Indians, but I feel like here, because things are just so accessible because it's a small country, everybody's interconnected, everybody knows one another, it's easier to stay connected to your roots.
My mom, she was very particular about me understanding customs to some, and or at least like, you know, what things in Hinduism mean. So, you know, she used to take me to Chinmay Mission every Sunday. Every Sunday. You never miss that.
Love. Yeah.
And I mean, now she's very active in it. She teaches, so.
Aww, that's sweet.
I mean, at least for me, that allowed me to get a better understanding of what the Gita is. What does that mean?
But anyways, media representation is very interesting and we should have more and more Desi people up on that platform. Yes. So all those people that are listening that are probably trying to get into roles that are not really Indian, please continue that hustle and keep it going. And thank you for hearing us out.
Also, and one more thing, if you are a viewer, I'm not going to tell you to watch content that you don't enjoy by any means, but yeah, if you can, be on the lookout for other Indian Americans that are up and coming and just at least try to allow more of that into your arsenal of things you watch, like my YouTube channel.
Oh god. Okay, yeah.
Push TV, subscribe.
Yeah, great, subscribe. And so I have this thing in my head where it's like, if people follow me, I tend to follow back. So yeah, you guys can follow me and expect to follow back. I'm nice.
You guys can DM me and expect a response.
Oh yeah, you can DM him whatever you want. Like he will reply.
No, other than follow for follow, sub for sub, like things like that. Other than that, yes, DM me whatever you want.
Yeah, he will reply.